Welcome to the Production First Mindset, a podcast where we discuss the world of building code from the lab all the way to production. We explore the tactics, methodologies, and metrics used to drive real customer value by the engineering leaders actually doing it. I'm your host, Liran Chemovich, CTO and co-founder of Frugal. I'm joined today by our guest, Idan Friedman. Idan is Director of Engineering at DraftKings, one of the most exciting virtual sports companies out there. Thank you for joining us and welcome to the show.
Hi, Liran. Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Idan, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your role at DraftKings?
Yeah, so I myself have about like 15 years in the industry, done different roles, started as a hardcore developer, moving forward, I've done more technical roles like architect, and after that, I moved to leadership, being a team lead, small companies, big ones. In the last 6-7 years, I'm doing especially startups, and well, lucky us, in the last one, we made it. We got acquired by DraftKings. It's very exciting for us to be part of that.
So you ended up in DraftKings after they acquired your previous startups.
Yeah.
Can you share with us a little bit about what was that startup all about? What were you doing?
Yeah, so Blue Ribbon, as I call it, ex-Blue Ribbon, is a startup building gaming tools for different operators in the iGaming industry. What we essentially do is our tools, once you integrate with us, they brings you increased value in the retention and the engagement of your players. And the first tool that we were focused is jackpots. Jackpots is, think about like a progressive lottery pot where people contribute and they can win different prizes on different amounts. So essentially you can take it and put it on anything. You can put it and connect it to a actual game. You can put it and connect it into a virtual game. You can even connect it to supermarket if you want. Once you do send some triggers, you can choose which amount you want to contribute, and then there is like a big lottery where there is a winner who can win it all.
And I'm guessing you work with a lot of gaming companies as you're building this jackpot product?
Yeah, we're working mostly with gaming companies, but what's really interesting here is that we were acquired by DraftKings. They have different verticals. One of the major verticals of DraftKings is DFS, which is daily fantasy sports, where you can compete against other players virtually. And with leaderboards, you can rank different players on real games, and the scores that you get are based on the actual result on the real games. And once you can connect jackpots to this party, then you can win different prizes based on the leaderboards and other metrics that you can pre-configure. Yeah.
And now Blue Ribbon is a part of DraftKings. What is it like?
So this is very interesting because now that from company we're about 20 people, 15 to 20 people, now is part of 30,000, 3,000 people. That's a different challenge. The scale, the impact, you can't really compare between them in regards to the excitement and the adventure that we have been through. So the challenges are pretty much different. Now we're speaking about, as I said, scale, and every change that you do, every new feature that you add, that can create lots of impacts among the DraftKings players. Yeah.
I've been working a lot with gaming companies, our clientele, and I've noticed that in many of them, I think all of them, have multinational engineering teams, which is something you don't see across all segments. So I'm kind of wondering, what's your take on that? How is it like at DraftKings?
Yeah, so multinational teams, this is, I think today, it's even less a challenge as it used to be because the COVID and everybody works from home. So once you're working remotely, it doesn't really matter if you are physically close to each to one another in that manner. In regards to culture and other differences, then once you understand the other teams and their culture and the way that they think and you're taking under consideration, their holidays, their mentality. Once you all getting to understand each other and communicate with each other, then I think that's getting much more effective than just, you know, having some routines that you think you can apply for remote teams than to your local teams.
Which locations do you currently work with? I mean, where does DraftKings have engineering teams that you work with on a daily basis?
So the daily, actually the daily basis, because the Blue Ribbon team has been converted to DraftKings teams. So most of it is locally, but we have teams in Boston, which in the United States and North America, and also in East of Europe, okay, Kiev and Bulgaria. And the time zones are challenging, but still, when you know to work asynchronously, that makes the things easier for us. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And today you provide services to those other teams?
Yes. Today, as I said, Blue Ribbon, now so-called gamification platform team, what we do, since we bring solutions to all the verticals in DraftKings, so we give those services to different teams across the globe for DraftKings, yes.
So what kind of services, what kind of gamification services do you offer?
So now, beside of the jackpot solution, we are extending ourselves to more gamification tools where there are event-driven triggers, or we are also expanding our gamification, I would say, product line to work with leaderboards. Now we are also thinking about bringing social elements in. This is still an ongoing, but mostly what we've done in the last year is to engage our current platform, working with different type of jackpot configurations to all the verticals.
And how does it work? I mean, in your case, you're not only integrating your team into the company, you're also trying to integrate your service into every different product DraftKings is offering. So what's that process like?
Yeah, so this is very interesting, because now, since you have different products that you want and need to integrate with, that brings a lot of variety in your challenges, on the day-to-day challenges. All of a sudden, the design is changed. Your metrics are being changed. We are very metrics-driven, and we want to measure ourselves. So all of a sudden, the metrics that we used to measure ourselves when we were just Blue Ribbon are now getting different.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I think this is very interesting, to work with different product stakeholders and to find some common ground to all of them. So we can develop one thing or maybe multiple things, but still to have some common base where we can scale and extend ourselves.
Can you give a few examples of the metrics you've been tracking as Blue Ribbon versus the metrics you're tracking as a gamification platform?
Yeah, so one very famous metric is engagement, okay? We want to know, once you put our tool and engage them into the game, how many new players, for example, join the game since you're using our tool, which is very, very important. For example, in DraftKings, you want to look at retention, because there are a lot of players and you want to see how those players are now behaving once they have games with Blue Ribbon tools.
Mm-hmm.
So those are user retention as well, but now it's very, very important for us to see how they existed players.
And in the past, which metrics were you tracking as Blue Ribbon?
So engagement was one of them, and DAU, which is like the daily active users, how many users are, let's say, an everyday hour, actually active using our games that using Blue Ribbon tools.
Now, I know you're a big believer in culture. And how do you build engineering teams to deliver the best possible software by creating the right kind of culture? What was it like to build the culture at Blue Ribbon, and how is it different today at DraftKings?
This is a great question. First of all, I think the fundamental of every culture is communication. I think this is the basic and most mandatory thing that you need to be established in development teams, because once there is a communication, you gain other things like transparency, for example. In practice, transparency can come in place where you're not going to meet the deadline, or your team not going to meet the deadline, or when, you know, as a new startup, you're going to be out of budget soon. You want to communicate this and be transparent with your team as well. So once you have this communication, everybody are aligned and feeling safe to do things, to dare to do things and break things. And that brings really great motivation to do great and big, I would say, take risks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so for me to build this culture, as I said, based is on the communication, and afterwards is the learning curve, which is super important. So and we want to focus ourselves on creating new features and creating new things, but still maintain the current system in a way that it won't block you in the way. In startup, you need to move fast. So the culture is a little bit different, not because you cannot move fast in big company, don't get me wrong. In a small company, just you have more a survival aspect. The survival aspect is very, very huge. Like if you do a mistake, you know you might not be there anymore, right?
Mm-hmm.
So these survival instincts put you in spots where you want to push hard and and make sure that you deliver value and show your investors and everything else. In DraftKings, which is a big company like any others, the survival instinct is, as I see it, it's getting weaker in one hand, but on the other hand, you have a huge impact. All of a sudden, you have millions of players and users. You don't want to do mistakes over there as well. You want to make sure that you are safe and you do the things the right way, not to lose them. So as I said, you need to move fast on both ways in regards to culture and to their things, but you pay attention to different things on both angles.
Now, you mentioned moving fast, and I know it's been moving fast. Personally, for me, the most important thing is feedback. Being able to know if you're doing the right thing or if you're making a mistake and kind of stop it before it gets too bad. So how do you see feedback in the software engineering lifecycle?
Feedback, I think it's one of a very crucial step in every dev cycle, life cycle. The sooner you get the feedback, the better you're going to get. This is how I see it. And let's take an actual example, right? You're taking your branch as a developer, you want to push your code and you want to make sure that what you've done is right. And once you release, you want to have the feedback as soon as possible so you know if you were right or not. And that's right for startup, and that's right also for big company. You want to get that feedback from users, whether it's another department in the organization or whether it's a player. Of course, there are techniques altogether, right? We have different technology to apply that, whether it's continuous delivery or A-B test and etc. But as I see it, feedback is the first milestone for you to understand if you're going the right way.
I'm sure you, like many others, agree that metrics is the easiest way to get feedback. I mean, you've already mentioned metrics. And metrics is usually the easiest way to know if you're heading in the right direction or in the wrong direction. What kind of metrics are you using at DraftKings, at the gamification platform, to know for every release, for every change, is it improving the system or is it making things worse?
So to that question, what's really nice that we can leverage in DraftKings or big company compared to startup is that you already have some workload. You already have some, action, right? You have players, they're playing, and you have traffic. It's very easy to compare between one state of the traffic to another when you are putting a new tool of Blue Ribbon, for example, gamification, or if you change anything. So back to the actual metrics, as I said, retention and engagement are very, very important. Another metric would be session time. How long player is actually playing during a game that was deployed with a gamification tool or without it. Session time is it's very important. Yeah, and also at the end of the day, the wager itself. What would be the amount of the payments that have been paid on different product lines with gamification and without?
And what impact do you see on games that have had the gamification platform at DraftKings?
So we're pretty new. We are acquired about 7 months ago. We do see some metrics. I'm not able to expose them right now, but it's looking very, very good. We weren't very surprised because we know the impact that we had on different customers that we had. It's very important to say that on Blue Ribbon, when we were a startup, our focus was on B2B. And now our focus is on B2C. Okay, then the end user for us in the end of the day is the player, which is a little bit different. So we are polishing our KPIs according to that as well on the go.
Now, without going into specific numbers, kind of how is the scale changed from the, you know, the Blue Ribbon platform to now the DraftKings gamification platform?
Yeah, so in regards to, let's take as transactions per second. I would say that business transaction per second in Blue Ribbon would be somewhat for a couple of hundreds. All of a sudden, it's a couple of 10,000. It's huge, not from day one. We are getting there slowly. But once we understand and polish where we want to put the gamification tools all over the verticals of DraftKings, then we know which traffic and how much of it we want to open. So currently, right now, the impact is huge, but we are still careful and understand on where and when we want to open those funnels.
Now, I know many engineering leaders are worried about cloud costs. Whenever they scale, whenever they start seeing more and more transactions, I mean, if you get 100x more transactions, are you going to be paying Amazon 100x? And can you afford that? So kind of, what's your view on that?
Yeah, so I think to move fast, you need to have good skills in cloud and of course, everything around that. I mean, everybody knows that, right? I don't want to detail a lot of it. But in regarding to costs, I think you want to make sure and pay attention that everything is that it in control. You can do that by putting alerts. You can make sure that you measure every on a monthly basis what was your accounting compared to the previous one. I think that in cloud, one of the easiest things, but it also can be a pain, that in a matter of clicks, you can create machines, you can create environments. But once you scale, if you didn't design it right and you didn't pay attention, that can get to huge budgets. But again, if the business is correlated with the cloud cost, that's fine, right? I mean, we have more traffic, we need to pay more resources, and that's okay. But if it's getting out of control, then that can be a huge nightmare, because then you need to pay more resources to fix the cloud architecture that you've built before.
But sometimes, even if you do make more money, and I mean, you're still profitable, then you're all of a sudden seeing this, I'm paying Amazon, I know, $1 million a year, I can save those $1 million a year. Kind of. That often becomes a second priority later on.
You know what I say, you need to spend some to get some, else there is no way how you can actually progress. But eventually, you need to put yourself ceremonies for cost budget control from day one. We were aware to this in Blue Ribbon from day one, again, because it's every startup, you know, money is God, and you want to make sure you have a cash flow. And yes, the cloud, cloudification services, and everything, all the third-party tools that we're using, they all were payment consumers. And we want to make sure they're all in control. So we just created different ceremonies on a monthly basis or quarterly basis to make sure that whatever we do, we actually use it. You know, it's not a surprise that you have some machines stop somewhere or not stop somewhere, nobody use them and they're just there because it's easy for them to be there. But once you're aware to it, then things getting a little bit more in control.
So what kind of ceremonies did you put into place at Blue Ribbon to get things right from the get-go?
From the cost perspective. So since we were based on AWS, for us it's very easy to use CloudHealth, for example, which is a tool that reflects to you exactly how much do you pay for different perspective in your cloud account. For example, EC2s, the machines, I mean, how much of them are on demand or not on demand. How much do you pay for S3? How much do you pay for your queue providing, AWS, SQS, SNS, and etc. So what you essentially start to do is putting alerts. And when you put alerts on thresholds, then that makes you more aware. Hey, I just got an alert that I crossed my, 5,000 limit, for example. You get the alert and then you pay attention to it. But you need to understand first what it's available and what you can do, whether it's using spot instances or reserved. And you need to understand what the services are and then just put metrics like anything else.
Makes sense. I would love to ask you another question when I ask all of my guests kind of, what's the single bug that you remember the most?
The single bug? I think if you speak about cost effective, I think one of the, I don't know if it's exactly a technical bug, but we had a huge payment debt for Amazon because of the SQS. And what we didn't pay attention is that when you use technology like that, you need to make sure that what you pay is clear. And we found ourselves that one, we had an issue that we triggered the API of AWS a lot of it because we want to optimize the latency issues and we kept off on trigger these APIs and all of a sudden we got huge debt on Amazon. We found out that Amazon also collect things using an API triggers and not just the service itself. And for us, we found a huge bug over there where we triggered those API too much. The cost reflected eventually.
I'm sure one of the reasons DraftKings acquired Blue Ribbon was to build a big Israeli R&D center. So as I'm sure you're hiring, and I'm wondering kind of what's the key characteristics you're looking for in candidates and why should people come work for you?
So yeah, hiring is major point for all of us, right? Nowadays here locally in Israel. And I'm looking for, and it's not really related whether I'm in DraftKings or small startup. I think this is a guidelines that I'm taking for myself during my career. I like to be around people who take responsibility and curving to learn more. We because eventually you come to work and you have different challenges on different aspects in your technology. But the ones that really want to learn and take responsibility end-to-end, those are the candidates or the employees I want to surround myself, because you can learn from them as well. They can dare, they can take, they want to take risks, and they want to do more than just what they have to do, as I said, more than what expected. So those are the people, whether it's a developer, whether it's a testing engineer or product, it doesn't matter. I want people to take responsibility, can think out of the box. This is very important for me. It's not if he's a Java developer, no, not JS developer, because all those skills you can learn, right? But the soft skills, the ones that push themselves to learn more and take more responsibility and taking end-to-end context, for me, this is really, really important. That's what I would look. And again, it doesn't matter if I'm big or small company. Eventually, you have your own group and you execute your challenges with the team that you have. And for the second question, why would people come to us? First of all, as you said, this is the first satellite team that we are building for DraftKings here in Israel. I think that what makes us unique is the fact that we are working with sports. We are living sports, we're breathing sports and everything around this. The focus is on American sport, actually. So this is really interesting. I don't know if anyone else do this here in Israel. And this is really, really... Besides of the fact that it's challenging, because sports is something very dynamic and moves fast and a lot of opportunities to squeeze our product lines, is also that it's fun. Mm-hmm. You know, it's very fun. It's you can talk about it, you can laugh about it, and eventually bet about it. So that's cool.
Sounds awesome. Can't wait to join DraftKings.
Thanks.
Thanks, Dan. It was great having you.
Thanks a lot, Liran. Enjoy here.
So that's a wrap on another episode of the Production First Mindset. Please remember to like, subscribe, and share this podcast. Let us know what you think of the show and reach out to me on LinkedIn or Twitter at Production First. Thanks again for joining us.